Let's bring in our hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro.
All right, joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
O's intros are better, more energetic than yours.
I told, like, right?
Like, put a little effort into it, Hayes.
Yeah, he's always like, yeah, Maple Toyota, Ray Ferraro.
Well, yeah. Depends on, I mean, who, if he's in a good mood or a bad mood. He's talking about the Toronto sports scene, so you know that that's pissed him off because, you know, the Jays
he
are in the
moody,
tubes.
Isn't he? He is moody.
Yeah. We were having a debate earlier, and let's hear your thoughts. What's the worst movie of all time?
Oh, my God.
Like, you can't say, it's got to be one specific movie.
Jeez, I don't go to enough anymore. I can't even think of movies that I went to that I like, let alone the ones that I hate. Do we have a couple on the board?
Well, yeah.
Love Guru.
O's is the Love Guru. Mine is Cabin Boy. And Hayes is Jack and Jill with Adam Sandler, where he pretends to be his own sister.
Okay, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. How's that for a sales pitch?
Yeah, almost any movie Adam Sandler was in, I think, was one that I didn't want to be in. See, I found him so unfunny.
Oh, see, you don't even like Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison.
Well, Happy Gilmore I do. Billy Madison, I'm like, it was stupid.
You're stupid.
Yes, exactly. The only scene I liked was when he was just pounding those grade threes in dodgeball.
That's the best, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm like, what a stupid movie. Why did I come to this?
Didn't he do another
Happy
one
Gilmore,
called,
different
like,
story.
Ricky Deeds or something? What was it?
No,
Mr. Deeds?
Mr. Deeds. Is that where his foot was burnt?
Yeah, that's where he was from, like New Hampshire or something like that.
Oh, the Water Boy.
The Water Boy's pretty bad.
I like the Water Boy.
I'm voting Water Boy. That thing
sucks. Wasn't his name Bobby Boucher?
Bobby Boucher.
Bobby Boucher?
Because...
Well, what's her name? Kathy Bates was his mom.
Yes. But, like, you know, Brian Boucher, the analyst now, like, his nickname, wasn't his nickname Bobby Boucher?
With Bobby. And then all of a sudden, and he talked like he had a sock in his mouth the whole thing. I hated that.
Yeah, that was brutal.
I kind of liked it.
That does suck. When you get hooked on, like, someone gives you a nickname based on something so stupid because of your name, you're like, come on, dude. Like, I get that. My whole life, people have been like, hey, Purple Haze. I'm like, thank you. Great. Like, they call me Purple Haze or Purple because of the Hendrix song, right? And I'm like, okay.
I never thought of that. I've never even crossed my mind
all the
to
time
call
when
you
I was
Purple
a kid.
Haze.
It was always Purple.
Yeah, that and Jackass, but that had nothing to do with your name.
No, true. Yeah, that was other derogatory terms that had nothing to do with my name. We had Matt Sakaris on from TSN Radio out in Vancouver on Lawrence Gilman, and Gilman used to be in studio with him all the time, and we told Matt, if you're expecting him to be on anytime soon, you should probably figure your life out because it's not going to happen. Our understanding is the Leafs are continuing with the Lou Lamoriello rules when it comes to the assistant GMs and assistant coaches.
They had publicized that he was going to be on for one last segment today, and then Matt had to put out a tweet, as per Leaf rules, he won't be on.
Yeah, actually, you're not going to be having him. How well do you know Lawrence Gilman?
I know Lawrence. He is a super nice guy. He is he's a real... I think he fits in with what the new look of the Leafs management is. I wouldn't say he's an analytic gearhead, but he's a... You know, he would come at things from a more of a not just an eye test way is the best way to put it, I would say. I think it's a good hire. I think he's calm. He's experienced. He's been through all of this stuff before with the Canucks. They got all the way to Game 7. He's the assistant general manager then. And, you know, with a lot of the same responsibilities as he's going to have now. He's also, I mean, I know they have Brendan Pridham there for the cap, but Lawrence is... You know, the CBA is kind of his thing. So I hadn't even really thought of it, but I think but I like the hire. I think he's probably an example of maybe some of the acquisitions we'll see that might be a little bit off most people's radar, but they're, when you look at them or get to know the guy, you'll go, oh, that was a good hire, or that was a good trade. That's kind of my guess of what we're going to see this summer with some of the acquisitions from free agency or any trades they might make. And Lawrence is probably a good example of that.
Yeah, I mean, it takes me back to our conversation yesterday, the importance of the salary cap and negotiating and and knowing the CBA inside out, because based on the way you just explained, you know, how you feel about Lawrence Gilman, the new assistant GM here in Toronto, and how Sakaris described him, he sounds a lot like Brandon Pridham, you know, in terms of being on top of the numbers and being
sharp
on top
guy.
Of the CBA. Exactly. But not the rink rat eye test evaluator. So
what do they got to do? Find a rink rat or what?
Well, I would think.
Well, I mean, doesn't it mean that there's one more guy to go?
Right.
Yeah. I think there's probably, for lack of better words, and this is with all due respect, a hockey guy, like you say, a rink rat, because Lawrence Gilman's a hockey guy. So, I mean, Pridham is,
who's going to the under-18s
exactly,
in Slovakia?
Like
who's doing
that? Well, that would be your whoever your head scout is. I mean, that's the guy they've got to hire.
Yeah.
Right? That's the one, no matter whoever they hire elsewise, that's not even a word, they've got to hire the person that replaces Mark Hunter, which is their chief scout.
Right.
Whomever that's going to be, that's really the one piece of the front office that's missing for sure.
How about that fight last night between Tom Wilson and Braden Coburn?
I can speak from my experience. If Tom Wilson came out of the box and turned left in front of my penalty box, I would stay right in there.
Yeah, Coburn's tough too, but that
yeah,
Wilson's
6'5". I'm not coming out of there. That would just be a, what do you say, Noodles? You come third?
Yeah.
Well, anybody that thinks
third.
That Tom Wilson is just a dummy and a goon, he is a really effective hockey player.
Yeah, he's good.
Well, don't you think? Oh, like that first goal showed a bunch of things that Wilson could do.
Kills penalties.
Right away.
He hits. He plays
he
with Ovechkin.
Back into the play. He made a nice pass back to Kuznetsov, and that all started with the way he separated the guy from the puck at center ice. I mean, it was perfect. Textbook, the way you would like a power forward to play. It's funny, you know, like I'm watching the game and I'm listening to it, and when I'm looking at the highlight, or I looked at, you know, as I'm watching it live, then I see the highlight, I'm like, why was Tampa in that spot so passive? There was four Tampa guys in the zone.
Yeah.
And
their
only
fourth
three,
line, by the way.
And Ovi's standing there like a statue, right, as he comes over the line until Kuznetsov got the puck.
Well, Ray, if you start both your first lines to start the game, why would you come back next with your fourth line? Because you know Ovechkin's coming over the boards.
Was that the Paquette line?
Yes.
Was that the Paquette line?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, because he likes their energy or blah, blah, blah. I don't know. He's the coach, not me. I would think that Ovechkin's coming up next. And so I would probably be a little more defensive in my thought of that. But they had Strollman on the ice. He's the D that I'm looking at in that highlight. As soon as Wilson comes over the line and he drops the puck back, why wouldn't he step up on Ovechkin? It's going no other place. And even if it doesn't go to Ovechkin, then he's going to shoot it from there, and your goalie better stop that. Like, I thought it was really passive, and then all of a sudden, now you're chasing the game, and the building gets quiet. You know, like super quiet right away, and you've got to fight that too. And they didn't play terribly, but man, they looked out of sorts last night. To me, they looked like they just didn't have it. And Washington, even though the chances, you know, there was all kinds of great chances for Tampa. You know, Gord missing from in the crease, the post, the breakaway for Miller, it was Killorn. Like, they had enough chances, but they just didn't seem like they were connected into the game. And I thought Wash did about as well as you're going to do in a game seven. You got saves from your goalie, even though he looked like an unmade bed sometimes.
Yeah.
They get the three goals, and you know, they get the empty netter. But that was a game seven. I mean, man, to go on the road and zip it up like that is pretty damn good work.
I agree, and I want to pose the question to everyone, and you know, when you look at who's in the finals now, Vegas and Washington, I was back and forth with my buddy Dave this morning, and he said, you know, the way that teams are built right now, everything's about speed, and Vegas has tremendous speed, and I think Washington's a fast team, but Washington's really physical. And I think Vegas they don't shy away from the physicality either. Like, they've got some guys who are not shy.
Yeah.
Ryan Reeves, you've got Eglin kicking around. The way that teams have kind of gotten away from that, I don't think enough focus has been on.
Well, the question is, Jamie, if it's a copycat league, what are GMs watching the finals saying? What do we have to do to compete with this?
Okay, and you're right. But here, I'll even go a step further. Does the physicality of the game, has that impacted a lot? I believe the stat is Washington had 86 hits their last two games.
Yeah, you heard John Cooper after the game six. He was like, they had 39 hits, we had 19. What's that tell you? You can't say it was all chasing the puck.
What it tells me is, like every other coach, they always like what they don't have.
Right.
They always complain about what they don't have. His team's built for speed and for puck possession. So instead of pointing out what the other guys have, why not find a way to coach up your team or find a way to get the puck back quicker and to keep the puck more? Like this stuff about building like another team, that's so, in my mind, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
So let's build a team for the Washington model. Okay, so you're going to get a defense that's decimated. You're going to get some strong forwards. Oh, yeah, and then we're going to get Backstrom and Kuznetsov in the middle and Ovechkin. Then you can start building from the Washington model. Last year it was the Pittsburgh model. Hey, we could have a no-name defense and win the Cup. Good. Get Kessel, Malkin, and Crosby on three different lines. Then you can do that.
Right.
Otherwise, you just got a crappy team.
Well, that physicality you talk about, that's why I loved what Wilson did last night.
I loved it, too.
I know some people don't like to see it, and people are saying he can contribute in other ways. I think that's exactly how you want him to contribute. He's physical.
Yeah,
he's
because
tough.
Because he can, though, Brian. Right?
Exactly. No, I'm not saying that you want other people to play that role, but, you know, like, I'm sure you guys saw it online. A lot of people are like, oh, I don't like that because, you know, the Lightning will take that all day. Absolutely. Go out and do it because Colburn was punking Kuznetsov, punking Ovechkin.
Yeah.
And Wilson said, no, you're not going to do
not
that.
Not having that. Not
I
on
love
my
it.
Watch.
I absolutely love it.
And see, and so that's, but to my point, that's part of what they are.
Right.
That's part of what, if Wilson doesn't do that, you're taking a chunk of his toolbox and throwing it in the garbage dump. Like, all of a sudden, he's going to play like a 5'10" forward? The guy's a beast. Play like a beast.
Yeah.
That's what he adds to their team. So, now, I think there is zero chance that he and Ryan Reeves don't fight in this series. Like, none.
Right.
They will find themselves in the same area of the ice pretty quickly. And Vegas will play as physically as they can. They've got some bigger boys, too. But the series is going to turn or not turn, in my mind, on whether they can handle Kuznetsov and Backstrom and Eller in the middle of the ice. I think Washington's center ice is admirable to anybody. And I don't know if Backstrom's got a broken hand or not, but he still looks pretty damn good to me.
Yeah, he does.
What's up with Stamkos kind of going MIA in these big games? Like, I did not notice him much at all.
He was not good last night.
He was invisible.
I thought Hedman was really poor. Hedman had the one rush, but other than that, they could have scored, and that could have changed the dynamic of the game.
But he's got playoff pedigree.
You're
Hedman,
right.
Like, Stamkos is a guy that...
Glenn Schiller had a good point on Twitter today. If that was Ovi's performance, the whole sports center today would be, what the hell's wrong with... But it's, I guess, what is it? Because it's Stamkos, we're just going to...
Well, we're talking about it.
Well, yeah. But...
Well, you know what? This is my view when I watch Stamkos, and it bugs me to say this because I'm a fan of just about everything that he stands for and he does. I think he tries hard. I think he's committed to being the best player he can be. But it bugs me to watch him and see him not as effective as he used to be. And in my mind, it is the injuries he's suffered have decimated his ability to be a dominant player. And I think it's kind of sad because he can't impact the game the way he used to. And maybe the other guys are more skilled and maybe the other guys are faster than they used to be when he was at his very best. But look at some of the injuries he's had. Like, he has had significant, literally body-altering injuries. And it seems to me like he's not at the level that he used to be.
Steve Yzerman's kind of always forward thinking. Do you think I watched that game end last night, Ray, and I was thinking he might try to do something drastic this summer because who knows if this group can get it done. And I don't know if it's not going to be Stamkos, but I just think he's the kind of GM that would look at it and say, okay, this group isn't getting it done. We got to change it up here. Or do you not do anything drastic?
Well, I think he's already made his drastic move. I mean, they burped up a lot of, you know, a lot of their depth organizationally to get Ryan McDonagh and JT Miller. And so it would be hard, I think, for him to do it again unless they go backwards with you know, like where you're trading a significant player for prospects and picks. And I don't see that. I think it'll be largely the same team. I think they'll, you know, there'll be attrition. There'll be four or five new guys and different players around, but I don't see a completely different different team. When I watched him last night, when they kept showing him in the booth, he looked like to me like a guy that was well aware that, okay, this is not our night.
Yeah, for sure. But Tampa, I think, is built for many years. Like you got a 23-year-old goaltender. Mm-hmm. You've got Hedman, who's a superstar. That Sergachev is going to be a player. Mm-hmm. He already is, but I mean, Braden Point.
They got 1 year left of McDonagh.
You're right. Like I would tinker, but that's a really good team, and Washington's a really good team. Like that's a thing. I wouldn't panic or have these knee jerk reactions just because you didn't finish where you wanted to. And I think that's where you look at Brian McClellan. He deserves a lot of credit. You could have, you know, everyone's blow up Washington. You're never going to have it again. You're never going to do it. Guess what? They're in the finals. Like it's.
Yeah, I guess what Stevie Eiserman did in Detroit for so many years, they had such good teams and never seemed to get it done, and then they finally did three times.
Yeah, I mean,
look at, we all picked Washington deep last year and deep the year before, and it never happened. And then this year, I mean, they're not as good a team on paper, except they're all the way through. You know, sometimes you're forced into moves. You know, they lost Justin Williams, and they lost Olsner, and they lost Nate Schmidt in expansion. Schmidt, yep. They lost Shattenkirk. How is that team better? Oh, well, doesn't matter. They're in the finals. They found a way for all the pieces to fit this year. And that's, you know, some of it's patience with McClellan. Some of it they get forced into. But I was really impressed. I was really impressed. They almost look like a team that it's their time. Now we'll see, because maybe it's Vegas' time after 9 months in existence.
Yeah, they deserve it. Well, yeah. Vegas, apparently they're favored out of Vegas. Like Vegas, the odds came out, and it's
Vegas.
It's
Vegas,
a little late to jump on that bandwagon now.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. We were in the sportsbook over the weekend, and there were a couple of locals just kicking around, and they were betting on Vegas. And I think partially out of ignorance, partially out of, you know, loyalty to the team. And they're like, well, I've been watching only this team. I've never watched hockey before, but they always seem to win, so why would I stop? And I'm sitting there. Here I am, like, trying to calculate how this is going to work out.
Like, yeah, that team wins
every day. Mr. Sports Guy over here, and I'm just dumping mortgages into the sports book. But I think partially it's because of their own fans have probably been riding the team the whole way, and Vegas is finally like, we can't keep paying out the locals here.
This is time to flip the switch.
Yeah.
See how much they really like their team.
Exactly, because they know how to gamble down there, too. They understand the odds and the way that works. So you can get plus money on Washington right now if you're into that sort of thing. All right, Ray.
You just sounded like Al Michaels at the end of a Monday Night Football game.
Yeah, a blowout.
Yeah.
But the over-under.
When he brings up the line.
I love it.
And you're like, Al has got cash on this game. There's no question.
He's got his whole career on the under. I love Al Michaels. So good. All right, man. We'll do it tomorrow.
All right, boys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.com.